As Christy, we can start off something as important that God wants us to do. You know, it's not something that out of ordinary. And before we start, let's turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 28. I'm wondering, this is the commission of God given to us, okay, to the church, and we're the church. And Matthew chapter 28, the last two verses, okay? It's amazing when God says this. I'm wondering what the disciples think. Okay? You there yet? Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at maybe verse 18. But before I say this, I want you to hear the title of my sermon is Rich One to Save Many. Okay? If you have not get the gist of it, by the time the sermon over, you understand what Jesus have in mind about this. Now, with that in mind, look at this text here. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority have given me in heaven and earth." Verse 19, "Go therefore make disciples of all nations." Of how many? All nations. This means go and make everyone in the world believe in Jesus Christ. And baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And of course, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, Jesus said to the disciple, go and tell the whole world. Now, that is impossible. Now, they couldn't even go to the whole world. And under the persecution, so many people already crucified Jesus. And here, go to tell about Jesus. Come on now. We're going out the door and say, we follow Jesus. We are a Christian. We're going to die. And so here Jesus say, go to the whole world. And so now that sounds like impossible. But would Jesus ever give you things that impossible to do with his help? No. He never asked you to do something that impossible. So with that in mind, the story I want to talk with you right now, that is possible. If the disciple look back, what Jesus have taught them for the 3.5 years, if possible. The story we're going to study this morning in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. All right? John chapter 4 is taught them a Samaritan woman. Here it is. We're going to look at this in the light of testimony, how this testimony is a powerful one. Okay? Now we look at Samaritan women. We not look at the theologians or the number one preacher in the world at that time. No, we look a sinful woman, a low-educated person. But when the power of God put on her, the miraculous things will happen. Here it is. Let's go to verse 4. After Jesus worked with the disciple, and Jesus said, you know what? We need, verse 3, we need to go to Galilee. He left Judea and depart again to Galilee. Now, Galilee is in the north, and Jerusalem in Judea in the south. Okay? And if we do a shortcut, we will go to Samaria. But most of the Jews, if they want to go to Galilee, they go around Samaria. It doesn't matter, take a little longer. But we just don't want to go across that country. Verse 5. So he came to this, verse 4, but he need to go through Samaria. Now the disciples say, you know what? Jesus, you know, that is a long road. And It's a hot summer day. You know, we don't want to take that road. But Jesus said, you know what? I want to go through it. If Jesus said it, what? We just follow. Verse 5. So he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot ground of Jacob, give his son Joseph. What is there? The Jacob well was there. Jesus, therefore, been worried, and they have a long journey, and he sat by the well. Okay? And what time was it? It's about the sixth hour. What time is sixth hour? It's noontime. 12 noon. Now, do you want to go in the middle of the desert 12 noon? You don't want to do that. Apparently, we know that because she goes to the well by herself. Now, if the whole village will have a well, they're going to line up and they enjoy go to the well. They go there every day. Feed the flock, bring the water back home to cook. But here it is. This particular woman decided to go at noontime because she don't want to see anyone. And here it is. She saw Jesus. Maybe she saw a stranger. She thought that she would go somewhere. No one was there. But sometime we got the wrong idea. Sometimes you want to go somewhere that you don't recognize, that a friend or people ask you a question. But here it is. Somehow Jesus sent a stranger to your path. Now, sometimes when the strange things happen, you probably get upset with it. But hear me out. There's sometimes strange thing will come, will help you instead of hinder your life. Verse 7, and a woman Samaria came to draw the water and ignore the stranger. I don't want to talk to anyone. I already committed not to talk to anyone. And here it is. A voice came down behind. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. Now she thought she's going to get the water and go home and that's it. But here, someone wants to start the conversation. There's a time you don't want to talk to anyone, right? But here they say, give me a drink. What can you say? During that time, you know, when people ask you to a drink, what do? Obviously, you give people to drink. You know, today is different. You know, ask Kang. Hey, Kang, you have a drink for me? He might ignore me. But back then, you know, they are rare. The society, they recognize people need and they help out, especially drink water. Water is so important in the desert. Now, during that time, what happened there? The disciple going away to buy lunch. And Jesus there by himself. Now, did Jesus intend this to be happen? Yes, nothing is strange to God. See, Jesus intend to have one-on-one conversation. You see, one-on-one conversation is very important because sometimes when you have a lot of people around, you don't really want to freely up and open, do you? And so when you talk about discipleship or witnessing, you want to one-on-one. See, a lot of things about people say, if we're witnessing or give testimony and people to follow God, you know, bring them to a big evangelistic meeting. Bring them to the church and let the preacher talk it out. Preach, man, preach. Talk about the Sabbath. Talk about the state of the dead. Talk about if they don't repent, they go to hell. You say, you drive people away. But when you go to home and home visit, you talk with them one-on-one, they will listen. The heart will be open. Well, let's look at this Samaritan woman. Is she open or not? The woman said to him, how is it you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink? I mean, the Jews think that I'm better than Samaritan. Why would you ask me? The Samaritan woman thought about it. And that time, during that time, so the Jews and Samaritans never want to talk together at all. Never even share the water of the well. But Jesus started the conversation and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who say to you, give me a drink, and you will have asked him, and you will have given you a living water. Now, look at here. In terms of witnessing, testimony, what have you, Jesus recognized the setting. Now here, if the woman come out get water, you don't talk anything else. Right? You have to talk about water. So he changed the word water to a living water. And so the number one that you and I should never recognize about discipleship or give a testimony is to recognize the need. Recognize the need. Now, Jesus going to the mid of the day, no one will do that, but Jesus know that someone will come out at that noontime to get some water. So when Jesus put you a certain place out of ordinary to do all an ordinary thing, there's something will happen. So don't neglect something strange. Don't neglect something out of ordinary. God will put you in the place, in the right time, the right moment, that he will put a person in your contact so you can witness. Now, a lot of times people will ignore. You know, I'm too busy. I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't speak English very well. I'm look too much Asian. Whatever you. You just have to let go of the other preconceived idea that God will use you. Now, this woman has something. And Jesus recognized that she need the living water. She might not understand what the living water is. And so when you talk, talk in terms of the terminology of the person that you witness to and recognize their need. Okay? Now, Jesus talked about the living water. Jesus is not talking about Super Bowl. Okay? Because she wouldn't understand. You got to talk about something people understand. Do not use high-tech theological terminology that people don't understand. Simple living water. And the woman said, you know what? I don't want to talk with this man, but you know what? Since he started the conversation, I'm going to cut him out. I'm going to say this here. Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? She have a bucket to get water, and this stranger have no bucket, and so she want to prove that you have no water. I have better water. She didn't recognize that stranger. She argued about this water from our forefather Jacob is better than you. You from the Jews, you what water do you give? You from Jerusalem, you have no water. You know, we are better than you. Okay, and so did Jesus try to fight, try to argue? No. So the lesson is do not argue with people. If you want to witness, do not argue. You might argue to win, but you might lose a soul. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And Jesus answered her, whosoever drink the water will thirst again. See, that word thirst is a new word. It related to water, a living water, but this word thirst, it been bother her for so long because she have to get water. Thirst again. Jesus say, you will drink this water, you keep thirst again, you come out every single noontime, you really upset, but whoever drink the water I will give you will never thirst. Well, she like that. How do you like to go to work, 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 and never able to pay your bill? But I'm going to find a job for you and you pay all your bill. How do you like that? And so her mind will open up something is better than what she had. Okay? And so Jesus talking about it, but the woman coming back to say here, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. And so she recognized her need and she wanted this man to give her need. So number one, you need to recognize people's need. You got to help them their need. If you want to witness to the homeless, you don't give them a Bible. You give them food. They're going to eat the Bible yet? And so the point, you got to take slow, one step at a time, recognize their social need, their physical need, then their spiritual need. Okay? And so important in terms of witnessing that Jesus have taught the disciple, and the disciple don't know about that. But he started to remind them about it, and here we learn today. So the women answered and said, verse 16. This is the second point. Verse 16. Jesus said, go, call your husband to come here. Now, the woman asked, can I have that water? Can I have that living water you're talking about? Did Jesus give her right away? No. He changed the topic. You see, Jesus recognizes, in order to fulfill your need, there's something else you need to do. You cannot live the same lifestyle, and you expect the need that I give you will be fulfilled. To come to Jesus, it got to be a change. And so here Jesus posed a question, go and call your husband to come here. Now Jesus say this very statement is almost incorrect. Because he can directly point to her, say, you know what, who do you live with now? But he knows, call your husband. Very soft. Very tender. But the woman said to her, I have no husband. Is she right? Yeah, she's right. But maybe it's half right. Sometime when we did something, when people ask us a question, we don't tell the whole truth. But there's something deep in ourselves, some secret sin that we don't want people to know about. But when she said, have no husband, see what she meant. I deny what you just said. You call me something, and I do not agree. I deny that. It ever happened to you? Say, did you stole something from me? No. I didn't take anything from you. And so with this one and one argument, right? And so here it is. Someone argues, say, no, I did not take anything from you. I did not steal. I did not lie. And guess what? You're coming back to say, you know what? I have you on camera. Can you deny that? Well, that's what Jesus did. Jesus said, you have said well that I have no husband, for you have five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. Wow. You're on camera. There's no more hiding right now. Jesus just spilled out her sin. But something about Jesus, when she say that, he did not condemn her. If he have condemned her, she put left the water pot and run away. She did that many times. Run away from people. But somehow, whatever Jesus said, she's still there and still have a conversation with this stranger. And see, number two, I use a word, you can use a different word, but comfort their confession. Number one, recognize a need. And when they come to understand they are sinner, we need to comfort them, support them, walk with them, and not condemn them. No one will be condemned. Do you? I want someone to recognize I'm wrong. Help me to overcome my sin. And so what the woman said, "Wow, I perceive you're a prophet. You know everything about me." But she stopped right there. "Well, you're a prophet from Judea, and I'm Samaritan. We don't have no conversation." And so she started a conversation. Our father worship here on this mountain. But you worship on Jerusalem. So when some people recognize their sin, the first thing they do is they divert. They don't want to talk about it. It's hurt. It's painful. It's not only don't want people to know about it, but you don't want to bring that back. It's hurt. And so it's more comfortable for her is talking about religion. How about we worship this God, you worship other God, and go back and forth. But Jesus tried to go along with her to point out to her, you know, and here it is. I want to summarize it. We worship in this temple, you worship other temple. We worship this God, you worship other God. We follow this denomination, you follow the denomination, that's fine. But Jesus, here it is. Jesus did not say that I follow a right religion, correct religion, a perfect religion. No. Jesus did not point out that we worship in Jerusalem is better than the Samaritan. This is what Jesus pointed out. Jesus pointed out there the time will come that we worship the truth in spirit. This is not where the place where you worship. And see, when Jesus pointed that out, guess what? She feel comfortable. Because she would defend, "I'm right, you're wrong." But you know, maybe Jesus say, "You know what? We are both right." How you like that? If you witness to someone and say, "You know what? We are both right." Do you make other people feel comfortable? Yes. They were open for the truth. They were open for new idea. And so the point number two that helped them that they see themselves as a sinner and help the conversation continue. You see, what through all this here, Jesus did not condemn. Jesus support her, and so she continue have a conversation with Jesus. Look at this. If you stop the conversation in any way of your witnessing, you lose the person. Right? A salesman, if he or she did not continue have a conversation, would never make a sale. So do not say anything, do anything to cut off that relationship. Do not. Because there's a soul to win. There's a person that Jesus have died for that we need to witness. And so, we move to the point number three. Okay? Here it is. Point number three. Verse 25. The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah will come." So, here it is. The Samaritan woman studied the Bible. Okay? That means a person seek for truth. Okay? So she said, "There will be the Messiah will come, and when he comes, he will tell us everything, what is right, what is wrong." And here it is. Somehow this particular woman really opened to be accepting the Messiah. Right? If the heart is not open to accept the new truth, then it's not yet for you to say. You understand? If they don't care what the Bible say, the Sabbath or Sunday, do not say the Sabbath is true because it has no meaning to them. But this woman already opened her heart to accept the Messiah when he's come. And so Jesus say this, "I am the Messiah." Then that time will come and much easier for her to accept. And so point number three, to help them to accept Jesus. Now, to accept a new belief, a new thought, new truth is not easy. But it takes time. And God give all the time in the world to this woman. How long you want to spend the day here? The whole hot summer day? This woman already sees something to this man. It's not only what he said, but his eyes, his countenance with loving and caring. And so when witnessing is not what you say, but how you say. You understand how you say? How caring you? Are you care for that person? Do you care for that person to be saved? Or you just want them just to be saved? You understand the difference? I'm just going out there and give out glow so people can believe in Christ. Or do I go out there and really want to see these souls to be saved? You see the difference? I want to give out glow. So Hung say, hey, Pastor Vin is able to pass 1,000 glow this month. So he win the prize. No. There's something in there that you want to see people be saved. Not the piece of paper, not what you say, not what the truth say, but your heart pour out to see the person to be saved. And so when that's what Jesus did. Jesus loved her so much to accept her when everyone in the village reject her. How you like that? How you like to be with someone who accept you for your sin? Help you to go through and not condemn you. So her heart's open. Remember, open your heart, then easy for them to accept. Just like when you till to the ground. If the ground hard, you sow the seed, guess what? It's not penetrate. You have to till the ground, you make it soft, ready to accept the seed, ready to accept the truth. Then it will germinate. Move to the next point, the last point here. And so Jesus say, I am he. And so he's very, that time he accept that. Verse 27, this is something about the disciple here. I want you to recognize. At this point, his disciple came and they marvel that he talked with a woman. Okay? Now, you don't talk with a woman, especially a Samaritan. Especially privately. You see? When you talk with a group of people, no one judge you. But you talk with a woman in a private setting, people might judge you, teacher. This is what you should not do. The point is, do not let other people judge you who you witness to. Or say, this is too hard. Why do you talk to that person? Why do you go to the homeless? Why do you go to the prostitute to talk about it? That's a no-no. But Jesus, no. Jesus, no. You don't understand. We need to save people. Do not talk about Samaritan. Do not talk about women. Do not create so much barrier that you cannot go out and witness. You understand? Do not lay a more barrier than you witness. And so yet, one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking to her? So the disciple tried to find out what did Jesus just did. I don't think they tried to learn the lesson. I don't think they try to look for ways to get Jesus out. They just don't understand. And they say, you know, Jesus, you make a mistake. At that particular time, maybe, just maybe, this woman stand right there, hear this conversation, she get distressed and say, you know, forget it. I'm going to leave this place. Is that the place? Is that correct? No. Verse 28, the woman left her water pot. You know, you never left your water pot. If you lose it, you lose your life. You understand that? You know, how many people have your mom at home collect a lot of container? Oh, yeah, a lot of container. You keep collecting container, potato salad, a container, a gallon of this, collect all container. You know why? Well, I now know one reason I know why. Because they live in a hard time and they want to get water, but there's no container. And so they learn the lesson, you better collect container or else you have no water in the future, no rice. And so, do not complain. Your mom collect container. Just wait when she go on vacation, throw a few out. She will never notice. It's too many, she don't notice. Okay. Right? And so, here it is. And so here, she left the water pot, the most important thing, because you know why? The water pot is not important to her anymore. What is important is she find hope in her. She find hope in this man. She find hope in the Messiah. When you have Jesus, nothing's important anymore. It's nothing important anymore. She's so excited. She's running the desert. You know, you don't run. You'd be tired. But she run, go back to the village. She's so excited. She went her way. And here it is. She went back to the city and said to the men. She said this, come, see a man. Now listen to this. Come to see a man. This particular woman, you say this thousands of times already. You see many men already, and you ask us to see another man. Forget it. Right? The city woman, the village have to say that. You know, I thought about this. There's something she said. I saw the man. The man. I believe what she said. It's not strong enough. Her life have changed. That what make the difference. This woman is not trying to hide anymore. This woman is so excited about this. There's something about her that I could see that she a new person. That's where they draw the village. And he told the man, told him what to do, and what he said. And could this be the Christ? And so connect two together here. This woman have changed totally through her continent. But also she say this, could this man that I talked to at the well could be the Christ? Now when you go witness, you don't tell them this is the Christ. Follow. You see, could this man be Christ? Could this be the God who will save us? Could this religion be right? Could this truth is the one we're looking for? You know what? Why? Because you post a question upon the hearer, they seek for the truth. You see, when you tell people the truth, they most likely ignore it. But if you ask them seek for the truth, they will try to do it. Remember the Nathaniel saying, you know what? And they say, you know, I find the prophet, whatever, over Nazareth. And people say, you know, what is good Nazareth? Come and see. So Nathaniel didn't say that, come and you find the Messiah. He said, just come and see. And so when people say, I don't know if your religion is right or wrong, but you know what? Come and check it out. Check it out. You understand where I'm getting at right now, right? You just have checked it out. People don't feel resentful or feel people don't feel, hey, I don't want to come to it. If you say, come check it out, they are willing to go check it out. One time people give me a flyer for evangelistic meeting, and this is evangelist meeting, talking about the beast, whatever it is. And the person say, hey, come to this seminar, and you find the truth, and you find the truth God. No. They say, hey, come check it out. Guess what? I'm willing to go check it out. And so this woman say, could this be Christ? Go check it out. Verse 30, then they went out of the city and came to him. When this took place? At the noontime. People go to the well? No. But the whole village, the whole city of Monte come out to see what's going on. Because they also want to know who could change this woman when the whole city tried to find way to to change her, she never could change. But there's some miracle, some physician, someone can change it. And so when we're able to do that, let's refer to point number four, is supporting their witnessing. Supporting the testimony. And so Jesus support her to let her go back to the city for her to bring people out to listen to this very man. Four point, recognize the need, comfort the confession, help their accepting, and support their witnessing. Now, how many Jesus witnessed? One. Rich one, win many. And that's what discipleship is all about. Go save the whole world. These guys say, no, I can do it. No, remember the story I told you? Remember a few years back I told you about the woman at Samaritan? Oh, yeah, I remember. You only talk one lady, but the whole village accepted Christ. You see, verse 31, here it is. In the meantime, the disciple argued him, saying, Rabbi, eat. Argue about what? If you give people food, they argue? No. They argue, well, why do you take time to talk about women? Why are you witnessing? Why do you waste your time? Why do you do this? Why do you do that? And here it is. Jesus said, I have food to eat of which you do not know. And that's a key. That's a punchline. Jesus already fulfilled. Was he hungry physically? Yes. Did he fulfill spiritually? Yes. You see, when you're witnessing, you forgot about your physical life. You're so excited. You want people to win soul. You want excited to see people come to Christ. So a lot of time I just go out and witnessing and talk about, sometimes forgot about the time. Because why? God have helped you fulfill your need. The purpose Jesus come to this earth is what? To fulfill the Father's need to bring soul to heaven, to God. And so, when you go out witnessing, let not anyone talk about it. The disciple might be sitting there and argue, but Jesus, I don't want to go on with that, but Jesus said, look up to see the harvest already planted. And Jesus said, you know, 4 more months to be the harvest, right? But Jesus said, no, the harvest is here. What does that mean? Every time, any time is the harvest. When we talk about preaching the gospel in season and out of season, those in evangelism school, you read this here. In season and out of season does not mean there's a time to preach, there's a time not to preach. No. In season, that means when you talk about a religious thing, and when out of season, talk something, meet the need, non-religious thing. What does that mean? Every single moment is witnessing. It's not only a certain particular time. So Jesus gives us a mathematical formula how to reach one and save many. Was it possible? Is it possible? I don't hear you. Is it possible? Yes. Did you see it happening in this church? Yes. Really? I reach John. I only reach one. And John reach only one. Who is it? Wrong. And wrong reach many. Praise God. And that is the way of discipleship. If we follow the formula from the Bible, we can reach the whole world. But Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations. My friend, I'm just telling you, the 7 in this church is growing fast in every single nation. We can do it. If we do our part, God will do his part. God bless you.
Let's all stand for this last song, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Let's give our hearts to Jesus today.
Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior, art Thou. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, this now. I'll love Thee, Thine I love, I love Thee till death, and praise Thee as long as Thou lendest me breath, and sing when the devil knows I've got my brow. If ever I love Thee, my Jesus, this now. The mansions of glory and endless delight, however, are those.